Welcome to NHL Draft Class. I am Adam Kimmelman here, as always, with Mike Morial. Mike, we are counting down the days to the start of the 2026 NHL Draft. As we record here on Tuesday, we are 10 days away from finding out who will be the number one pick by the Toronto Maple Leafs, assuming everything stays in place, because Lord knows we're ready to expect just about anything here when we before we get to Buffalo.
Yeah, I mean, as of now, you know, draft slots are kind of set in the first round. You don't know what's going to happen here, Adam, but glad to be with you again for another episode of Draft Class. And we have our great guest this week, Pat Cullen, who takes care of the Midwestern region of the board. And that includes the United States Hockey League, high schools, Minnesota high schools, the high schools in that region, and a lot of the national team development program as well. So Pat will join us for that. And as far as the USHL goes, I think 68 players who developed in the USHL made NHL Central Scouting's final rankings of North American skaters and goaltenders. Muskegon, Adam, had 5 players active, alumni and affiliates land on the final list. So it's an interesting, development for the USHL. Of course, we've always seen the USHL as kind of that breeding ground for players that are looking to go on to college. But now we also see that, this CHL has become kind of that same mold where players would like to stick to the CHL before moving on to college. And we know a lot of players will be doing that as well. So going to be an interesting chat here with Pat for sure.
Well, you know, when you started to say how many Muskegon players were there, I wonder if we have to add a half for Tynan Lawrence, because he did half the season at Muskegon, in college, but he is included in your Magic Five. That's very good. Yeah. So, all right. One little bit of news I want to put in there before we go to Pat Cullen. The first round of the NHL draft order is set now that we have a Stanley Cup champion, the Carolina Hurricanes. They will have the number 31 pick in the draft. Number 30 would have gone to the Vegas Golden Knights, but they have traded the pick to the Calgary Flames. So Calgary has number 6 and number 30 in the first round. The rest of the draft is going to be set closer to when we get to Buffalo. But we have an entire first round. That order is set. As I said, Calgary from Vegas at 30, Carolina at 31, and the Ottawa Senators are at number 32 because of the modified penalty for the Dadonov trade back in 21. So a little bit more information, a little bit more news coming out. But let's go to Pat Cullen from NHL Central Scouting. Pat, thank you so much for taking time out of your day to join us here on NHL Draft Class.
No problem. Glad to be here.
Great to see you again, Pat. Pat, I want to dive into Wyatt Cullen of the NTTP, but first, can you tell us your relationship with the Cullen family and what that has been like watching the Cullen boys as a scout and not necessarily as a relative?
Yeah, so Matt is my first cousin. So my dad and Matt's dad grew up in a big family of 6 in International Falls. So we've been a really close family. We spent a lot of holidays together. So I obviously was older than the boys, but watched Matt grow up playing hockey, which was a lot of fun, and obviously followed his career through the 3 Stanley Cups. And now it's been kind of full circle and watching his 3 boys. It's been great. Talked to him a lot. It's interesting as a scout because, of course, you have to be objective, you know, but I've known for a long time that Matt's 3 boys are all very, very talented players in their own right. But, you know, you don't want to be the first to the table, pounding the table saying, hey. But what was great about Wyatt this year was, you know, he had a tough start to the season because of the injury, but he just earned everything he got by, you know, it was fun to sit back and with my colleagues and listen to them talking about him and praising him. So it wasn't very long, but before everybody saw the unique skill set that he has.
Yeah. So on Wyatt Cullen, I mean, what makes you believe that he'll be a solid pro one day?
Well, he got a lot of his qualities and traits from his dad, growing up watching Matt play through his youth years and high school and college years. He was a smart player, elite skill, all those boxes that you check. In the NHL, he turned himself into, I think it was what, 17 to 20 year vet. Wyatt's got a lot of the similar traits that his dad has. Hockey sense is off the charts. The skill is elite. He just was a slow, late developer. I think when he went to the NTDP, he was like 5'7", 140 pounds. And this year, when we did heights and weights, he ended up, I think it was 6'1", 180. So he just was a late bloomer, but hockey sense coming out of his ears, can make plays, can find guys. You know, his vision is excellent. He's just got a lot of traits that if you're going to be a first round draft pick, you're looking for.
So let's switch to another guy who's going to be a first round draft pick, Keaton Verhoff, who made the jump to North Dakota this season from Victoria in the Western League. Obviously, the size, 6'4", 215, it's NHL ready. But in college, you know, everyone's bigger and stronger. In the NHL, everyone's bigger and stronger. So when Keaton makes that move to college hockey, how in your mind did he handle the physical play? And what else about his game stood out this season when you watched him?
When I saw Keaton, I think in his very first college game, it was a game against St. Thomas here in the Twin Cities, which is close to where I live. And he didn't look like he missed a beat. He looked like he fit in from game one. What I noticed about him throughout the years, as I watched him more times, was he started to figure out the game in both ends of the rink. He was always a very he is an offensively gifted player. His numbers in Victoria in his underage year, you know, he had 20 goals. As a defenseman, that's pretty impressive. But what he did this year, I thought, was become a more well-rounded defenseman. He learned when to take the chances offensively, when to stay back. And his team at North Dakota was really good. He played a lot with a very offensively gifted Jake Livanavage. And I think he just learned a lot about how to play physically. He checks all the boxes. You know, the size is there. His skating is there, his offensive skill is there, but he just became more well-rounded where, you know, if you're going to be a number one, number two defenseman, you got to be reliable defensively as well. And I think college really helped him round out his game a lot more.
Yeah, I can't help but think getting in that environment where he's around bigger, stronger guys, different level of coaching is only going to help him. And then the other guy I want to ask you about, another college guy, Ilya Morozov, youngest player in college hockey, you know, but at 6'3 and 205 pounds, he also has this fantastic NHL ready size. When you watched him, it feels like the skill and the hockey IQ were pretty advanced. And if you look, you see maybe a little bit of Alexander Barkov in his game. How did you see him sort of grow and adjust to, you know, life at the NCAA level as such a young guy?
You know, the Barkov comparison is a good one. Whoever drafts Ilya, if he can turn into a player like Alexander Barkov, obviously they're hitting a home run. But he does. He has a lot of the same traits. He's as responsible in his own end as he is offensively. He can create offense. He can shoot it, his size. He plays very, very physical. He's your definition of a two-way centerman. You can use him on the power play, and the guys at Miami did a great job of using him this year. He played in all situations. He didn't look like the youngest kid in college hockey. I mean, how obviously the size, you know, the 6'3" size helps a lot, but he just continues to get better. And I know the coaches at Miami, and one of the things they always talk about is just hunger to be better. He works hard, he wants to be better, obviously. He wants to be a pro hockey player, and he's on the right path. I think there's still a lot of room for him to improve. I don't know what the plan will be with for whatever team drafts him, but leaving him in college hockey, in my opinion, wouldn't be a bad idea just to round out his game more. But he's an impressive player, man, and from all indications, an impressive kid. He just has his head on his shoulders in the right way.
Yeah, one of the things I really noticed too, in looking at some of the stats, Pat, on Morozov's game, was that he finished sixth among NCAA freshmen in faceoffs this season at 326. So, real impressive season from Morozov. Curious, real curious where he goes here.
Guy that they can use as a shutdown center if they need, you know, really responsible in his own end of the rink. He doesn't cheat. He plays an honest game. And, you know, sometimes kids at that age are cheating to create offense. You never see that for him. I think he'll grow offensively even more.
Switching gears here, Pat, to the United States Hockey League. Right-handed centers, Jack Hextall of Youngstown, Blake Zielinski of Des Moines, really caught the eyes of scouts as line mates at the 25 Hlinka Gretzky Cup in Slovakia last August. They carried that over into their USHL seasons. What qualities kind of do you like about each, and do you see each of them as a center at the pro level one day?
You know, that's a good question. I've seen them both play on the wing and at center, and I think one of the things is they're versatile. And if you're going to play at the highest level in NHL, as you guys know, if they want you on the wing, you got to be a really good winger. You can't just say I can't do it because I've played center. So both of those kids, I think, are capable of playing both. I like them as centers a lot because they have really good hockey sense. Both are driven, compete extremely hard, and I think everybody saw that in the Hlinka-Gretzky tournament last summer, where they were a couple of the better players, not just on the U.S. team, but in the whole tournament. They're both driven, both had good years in the USHL. You know, in the USHL, if you're around a point a game, that's a pretty good offensive season, and both kids were right at that point a game mark because the games are tighter defensively. You very seldom see draft eligibles putting up monster numbers where they're up over 100 or anything like that. So the numbers those kids put up last year was really impressive in their draft years. And I think, you know, Jack's going to go to Michigan State and Blake's going to go to Providence. I think you'll see their games grow even more, whether it's on the wing or at center. But I think the nice thing for both kids is they're both very capable. It'll be interesting to track and see which position becomes their go-to position, so to speak.
It's good to hear about Blake Zielinski. He grew up not far from where I grew up in South Jersey, so it's good to see him having success. But I want to ask you about another USHL guy, Rudolph Burskalns, 6'4", 205-pound center. Seems to skate well for a guy that size. Some interesting aspects to his game. He's going to go to Boston College in the fall. Looks like he could still fill out a little bit and learn how to use that size more to his advantage. But I'm wondering, he moved up from 49 in the midterms to number 30 in the final rankings. I'm curious what you and the rest of the staff saw in him in the second half of the season, and why are we talking about him as maybe a potential late first round pick here?
Well, I think an unusual circumstance really helped him, which was Tynan Lawrence moving on to BU. He took the role. Like, Tynan was the number one center in Muskegon, and everybody knows why he was. But when he left, it seemed like Rudolph really kind of embraced more ice time. They needed him to play better, and he did. The size is there, the skill is there, the compete is there. He just kind of, I thought he played excellent hockey from the second half on. He got hurt at the World Junior Tournament, so that set him back for a little while. But once he got healthy, he had a good run through the playoffs, did a really nice job as a number one center kind of guy. They used him both as a center as a wing, and a wing in Muskegon. But I really think the thing that helped him was Lawrence moving on, because his role got accelerated and he embraced it. And he's, you know, he's an easy player to like. Obviously, you notice him right away, but he plays physical, plays in his end of the rink. You know, like I said before, he doesn't cheat for offense. He does all the little things well. And yeah, I think he has a lot of room to continue to improve. But playing at the college level, I think you'll see him make great strides in his game.
Yeah, Burskalns, number 30 on Central Scouting's final ranking. It's incredible to think that two Latvia-born players could go in the first round. Obviously, you have Albert Smeets, at their defenseman earlier on, probably in the top five, top 10 in the draft. So that's really interesting. Seems like Jaden Kurtz of Rogers High School in Minnesota is a late bloomer, Pat. Started out as a forward, moved to defense 5 years ago, and has really found his groove here. What do you see in Kurtz this season, and what's the ceiling on this kid with the proper development?
You're right, Mike. He is, for me, he is the definition of the late bloomer in this draft class. Like, I saw him last year in the high school elite league, and he was good, but he wasn't as impactful as at the start of the year. It was, you know, everybody that was out, like, whoa, where is this kid coming from? He's the definition of a late bloomer. You know, he's got nice size, about 6'3", right shot defenseman, plays it both ways, brings good offense. I like the job that his coaching staff at Rogers High School did with him. They used him on the power play. They used him on the kill. They used him in situations where they're protecting a one goal lead. He just got a lot of well-rounded parts to his game. And then I think what also helped him is Chicago brought him in at the end of the Elite League season for a few games, made a good impression, went back and finished his high school season and had a excellent year. They were the number one ranked team, got upset in the playoffs, so didn't make the Minnesota High School tournament. But as soon as his Rogers team got done, Jaden went to Chicago, and I played in probably 12 to 15 games in the USHL, and I think showed everybody that he is a little bit of a late bloomer, but he made unbelievable strides this season in his game in all areas. His stick, he has an active stick, he's smart, he plays physical, and he's that prototypical right shot D that a lot of NHL clubs are looking for. And I do think there's a lot of room for him to improve. He's committed to Wisconsin. I guess I would assume that he's going to maybe play another year of junior hockey, but I don't know what Coach Hastings and the Badger staff are looking for him. But there's no doubt in my mind, I think he's ready to step into college hockey. He's a player that whoever gets him, they're still growing in his game. And I think he's going to ultimately turn out to be a really, really nice prospect for somebody.
It's always interesting to see how those high school guys make that jump from that level to college hockey, because it is a sizable jump, I would think. You know, going from 18 years old playing against 16s to now you're playing against 20 and 22 year olds. But Pat, let's look at the U.S. national team program for a minute. And Victor Plant, the left wing there, is an interesting prospect, number 42 in the final ranking. Obviously, the family bloodlines are well known. His dad, Derek, played in the NHL. His two older brothers, Max and Zam, are top NHL prospects. But what separates Victor from them, and what makes him such an appealing option for NHL teams?
Well, he has a trait that all the Plant boys got, which his dad has, was hot, great hockey sense. I remember watching Derek when he was growing up playing high school, and he was an elite hockey player, sense-wise, compete-wise, not overly big, but he made a had a long career in the NHL, a good chunk of it with Buffalo. But all three of the Plant boys got what their dad has, which is just a drive and a compete. And I think you saw that when he was with the NTDP, he missed a little bit of time. And when he was gone, it really affected their team because no matter what line Vic played on, whether it was on a checking line or an offensive gifted line or playing on the power play, playing on the kill, you could use him anywhere. And he was going to be one of the hardest working guys on the ice. I think he's a guy that whatever line he's on, the wingers or the center, they like playing with him because they know he's just responsible. He kind of falls into the same line as the brothers. It'll be interesting to see because they're all going to go play at Duluth this year. And will Scott Sandelin be willing to do a three plant guy line, or will he keep them separated? Last year we had Jason Shogavy played on the line with the other two boys, but he's falls right into the line like his dad. Just whatever he does, and you know, he's only 5'10", 165 pounds, but he plays way bigger than his size. You know, he's first guy in on the forecheck, competes hard defensively. I think he could play both center and wing. I think they used him mostly as a wing at the program, but there's no doubt in my mind he has the hockey sense and brains where he could be a center. But it'll be interesting to see because whoever gets him, they'll like the player that they get for sure.
This has been great stuff as always, Pat. One more from me, and I usually ask or have asked all the regional scouts the same question at the tail end of our interviews this draft season. Is there any player from the USHL, NTDP, or from college you feel would make a great mid to late round pick, and why?
You know, when he asked me that question, Mike, I was racking my brains trying to think back, like the who was the kid who kind of made that impact. And as I thought longer about it, there was one kid, and it's interesting because the draft, it used to be where if you didn't get taken in your first year of eligibility, the likelihood was not great that you'd go in your second. And certainly you probably weren't ever going to go in your third year of eligibility. But there is a kid this year Zach Wooten. He played in Green Bay, 6'2". I think he's about 200 pounds. Had an unbelievable year as a third-year eligible player. Was like, I think he had 63 points in 61 games in Green Bay. And it leaves hope for a kid that if you don't get taken right away, Zach just needed time. He was a good high school player, played at Eastview in Minnesota, and he just needed time. And now he finally really found his game, committed to Wisconsin. I think he's a kid who's a late pick, and whoever gets him is going to really like him because he's a two-way guy. He found his niche and competes in his end of the rink. He's got the size. He plays with good pace. He's kind of a guy that teams, when they're getting into those later rounds, they're just hoping to find a gem that, will work out for them. And he's a kid who I think has a chance just because of what he brings to the tables. And he showed it this year.
Well, we'll keep an eye out on Zach and all the other top guys you were so gracious to talk about with us, Pat. Thank you so much for joining us today on NHL Draft Class.
Nope. Thanks, guys. I enjoyed it.
Mike, that was great stuff from Pat Cullen. We learned a lot about these guys playing college hockey and how they sort of had to, especially with Verhoef and Morozov, how they made that step up. Certainly the physical side clearly helped them. And, maybe they're both top 10 picks. I see it certainly possible for both of them.
Absolutely. Verhoef is a player too. Doesn't it seem, Adam, like Verhoef has been a player like early on in the season, everyone really loved him and was thinking that, hey, this could be a guy that is the top defenseman taken in this draft. Then as the season progressed at North Dakota, there was some slippage. But now towards the end here, and particularly after, his showing at the combine with all the interviews, his I think his stock has kind of elevated a little more again. So he's one of those players, when you look at those top end defensemen, and there are plenty of them here, where is Verhoef going to fall here? He legitimately could be a top five. And as far as Morozov goes, yeah, I mean, everyone has loved him. I mean, he scored so well at the combine, in most of the tests there, and was an impressive specimen there on the on the physical side of things. And then on the interviews, he was great. So,
Well, he told us maybe the best story of the combine, that he took MMA training as a 3-year-old.
yeah.
Like, how amazing is that? And for those wondering, no, he was not a pre-kindergarten cage fighter. And I went down the rabbit hole, and you can read the story I wrote about him on NHL.com. MMA classes for that age are actually more prevalent than you might think, but it's more about learning how to tumble and coordination and listening skills and focusing and doing things. But it just the way he described it was so funny. Like, I would have never thought, like, my kids, I'm sure your kids when they were little did a lot of different things, dance and gymnastics and baseball and softball and all those fun things. My kids did it too, but I would have never thought of MMA training. Maybe I went the wrong way with my kids.
Maybe. But
Well,
hey, Adam, we're gonna do a little game. We're gonna
yes.
play a little game here this week. Fact or fiction. I'm gonna ask you a question. You tell me fact, fiction, and why, the reasoning behind it. And we're gonna see how this goes. It's something we're gonna try for the first time here. So now, knowing that the first round has been set, the order's been set, we know obviously the Toronto Maple Leafs have that number one pick. But I think a lot of people are wondering what San Jose is going to do with that number two pick. Will the San Jose Sharks trade the number two pick? Fact or fiction?
I will say fiction, Mr. Morial, fiction. So let's do a little history here. When the last time a top 10 pick, we won't even get into the top two. When the last time a top 10 pick got traded at the draft? We got to go back to 2022 for that. When the last time a top three pick got traded? You got to go all the way back to 2003. Look, could it happen? Sure, anything's possible. But to me, I would say unless Mike Greer and the San Jose Sharks get their skates blown so far off that they land somewhere in the Pacific, I don't see them moving out of that number two spot. Certainly because they want to get, obviously, I would think they want to get one of those top defensemen. So how far can you legitimately go and still get the one you really like? And if you do that, is the return going to be worth it? I think those top three picks, there's a lot of pain that goes into getting them. You want to keep them. You want to make the most of them. I think it is fiction that San Jose trades a number two pick.
Nice,
All
nice.
right. So, Michael Morial, let me ask you this. Assuming the draft plays out the way we expect it to play out and Gavin McKenna goes number one to the Toronto Maple Leafs and the San Jose Sharks are sitting there at number two, fact or fiction, the San Jose Sharks will take Ivar Stenberg if he is there.
This, my friend, is fiction. If you had the
Bum,
chance to
bum,
take,
bum.
if you had the chance to take a difference maker on left wing or a future number one defenseman with a real desire to make the NHL roster at a training camp, what say you? Look, I'm not saying the Sharks wouldn't take Stenberg, who's a fabulous player. We've spoken about him a lot on NHL Draft Class, and obviously scouts have and GMs have spoken about him. What I'm saying is Chase Reed has the look of a number one. In fact, there are a few defensemen in this class who have the look of a top pairing defenseman. So not only do the Sharks need experienced defenders next season, but there's kind of a lack of quality prospect blue liners in the pipeline. Sam Dickinson, Shakir Mohamadulin are the only U-25 defensemen with high NHL upside. It wouldn't surprise me if San Jose used both first round picks on defensemen. They have the number two pick and the number 20 pick. So that's fiction, Adam. We'll see what San Jose does. But look, Stenberg, you can't go wrong with either, right? But I do think that it is fiction that they are stuck to selecting Stenberg at that pick. So after Ivar Stenberg, Adam, the next international skater to be selected will be Viggo Bjork.
That, my friend, is fiction. I believe the next international player off the board will go to the New York Rangers at number five, and it will be Alberts Smits, the giant Latvian defenseman. You look at the Rangers and how they're built and where they're situated. You don't hire Mike Sullivan to be your coach through a rebuild, through a reworking, through a tweaking, through an adjustment. Yes. But through a full-blown rebuild, I don't think so. So I think the Rangers will continue to sort of tweak around the edges of their lineup. Maybe they move out Vincent Trocheck, maybe they keep him, but they want guys who can help them get to the playoffs quick. Albert Smits, to me, is ready plug and play into an NHL lineup as a second pair or third pair defenseman tomorrow. You look at the size, you look at the skill, you look at the maturity. You already have proof of concept of what he can do with and against NHL players. Watch him at the Olympics. Watch him at the World Championship. The ice time and the results don't lie. He never looked out of place at all. You can put him right into that New York Rangers lineup and depend on him to be a really good player with eventually growing into a top pair guy. So to me, as good as Bjork is, and I'm a huge Viggo Bjork fan, I don't think he's on the board much longer after Smits. But I think Albert Smits is going to be the second international guy off the board after Ivar Stenberg. So, Mike, speaking of centers, fact or fiction, Tynan Lawrence will be the third NCAA player off the board after Gavin McKenna and Keaton Verhoef.
That is fact. It was a big jump and it took him a while to adjust. I'm talking about Tynan Lawrence here, but I really felt his last game against UConn was his best game. So I'm betting on him that that's kind of the trend here for Tynan Lawrence. There was a time when Lawrence was right there with Malhotra, Adam. Remember this for that top center spot. The injury set him back. And then, of course, the adjustment to college hockey. He's got such a good work ethic. Can make plays off the rush, the cycle. There were times in the USHL where he was dominant as a 16-year-old and at the Hlinka where he was the best player for Canada in his age group. So personally, I feel he's going to be a great two-way center. The others to consider, number three, the left-handed center, Morozov, who we've spoken about, Miami, and then left wing Oscar Hemming of Boston College. So there are other college players here, but to me, I just get the feeling that Tynan Lawrence, just the overall feel, being a centerman and knowing what Jay Pandolfo saw in this kid down the stretch, it leads me to believe that he's going to have a great full season at BU this year, but I think he's going to be the third NCAA player off the board in this draft.
Yeah, I tend to agree with you. I don't think that's much of a stretch to believe. And somebody's going to get, we've sort of identified three centers that have sort of separated themselves from the rest of the pack at that position: Malhotra, Viggo Bjork, and Tynan Lawrence. And I think all three of those guys are gone within the first 15 picks. So yeah, I think it's fair to say that Lawrence is going to be the number three NCAA player after McKenna and Verhoff. I think you might have that one right. Good for
Yeah.
you. Good
Hey,
for you.
this was pretty good, Adam. I like it. I like
Games are fun. I wanted to do, I wanted to do like the War Games, "Would you like to play a game" kind of voice. Some of our older fans might understand that War Games reference. Ask your parents or, at this point, grandparents, kids.
Yeah.
But away from all the old-timey jokes, we do have a lot of great stuff. If you want to go back and listen to our previous episodes of NHL Draft Class, we just had Nick Smith to talk about the best of the Ontario Hockey League. John Williams did the best of the Western Hockey League. J.F. Damfus, the best of the Quebec Major Ju Maritimes, the Junior Hockey League, excuse me. We've done the best of Europe with J.P. Vuorinen from NHL Central's NHL European Scouting. And we also had, listen, you want to go back and you want to hear Gavin McKenna and Ivar Stenberg in their own voices. We talked to them at the scouting combine in Buffalo one-on-one, so you can hear them in their own words, what they've thought about their season, where they think they could go in the draft. So absolutely go back and listen to previous episodes of NHL Draft Class. Also, go to NHL.com, NHL.com/draft to see all the great content Mike's put up, I've put up, already there, more to come. Mike, this is our time to shine, right? Their time, it's over. Now it's our time.
Nice. I
Sorry.
like
You know
that. I
what?
like that.
Sorry. I saw a Goonies bumper sticker on a car the other day, kind of bounced in my head. So
Yeah.
I
Well,
apologize.
that sounded like Miracle too. A little miracle in there too, Adam, that you were
Sure, we
throwing
can
at
go with
us.
that. Sure.
But yeah, in addition to what you said, Adam, real quick, we had Mark Leach on, the director of Amherst Scouting for the Toronto Maple Leafs, during the combine. So you can check that one out. And of course, the Rucks, Liam and Marcus, Adam, we had them on at this, together on one of the pods during the combine, and that was a lot of fun. So a lot to check out on NHL Draft Class if you haven't already.
Absolutely. Stay tuned. We have more great content coming here on the podcast, more great content coming on NHL.com, NHL.com/draft. But for now, Draft Class is dismissed.